Triple M's.
Oh!
That has gone sideways.
My word.
That has gone sideways.
Oh. Cricket Fan Podcast.
Bloody hell!
We took a couple of weeks off while the various footy seasons heated up and we've come back still with the Ashes. Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast is back to take you through the best part of the year, the start of the domestic season. I'm your host, Rudy Etzel. I'm joined by the only man in the room actually playing cricket this year, Tommy Beers.
G'day, mate. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. The man we had to drag away from his ever-updating stats compendium, Ethan Meldrum.
Yeah, it's been a couple of very long hours waiting for this to sort itself out.
And Victoria's biggest South Australia Redbacks fan, George Porter.
Don't worry, I'm going to run through every Redback on this list here for everybody.
No, you're not, because Beersy's going to kill you, Mike.
I'll cut you off.
So it is that time of year where we all dig into the feast that is now called the Marsh.
The Marsh Cup. Marsh, Sheffield Shield.
The Sheffield Shield's about to start. But before we get to that, we're going to kick off with the Aussie T20 squad, because we're playing Sri Lanka and Pakistan at the end of the month in Australia.
This might be the least publicised series of all time on Australian shores. Like, no one knew about it. It's like, oh, here's this squad that we're playing.
Since we played up in Cairns and Darwin against the, I don't know,
Zimbabwe,
whatever it was about 10 years ago.
The Zimbabwe tour where Matty Hayden made 380 against him at the Wacker. So they've named the side, and there's a few surprises. Aaron Finch is the captain, but the Marcus Stoinis has been dropped.
The old oil rig.
The oil rig himself, one of our favourites here.
Put your rigs out.
Yeah,
put your oil out.
Put your suntan lotion out.
Put your
oil rig.
Put your barrels out.
Chris Lynn was not considered. Apparently he's not playing enough cricket. And then Darcy Short was just straight up stiff.
That's the most ridiculous one of these.
It is, isn't it? I took down some stats about Darcy Short. So he's just won in the last two or three weeks the player of the series for the English Vitality Blast. He made 483 runs and took 13 wickets. And then in the last Big Bash, he made 637 runs as the top scorer. At an average
back
about
to 50. Back top
he's been
scorer.
Back to back.
Yeah.
MVP or
yeah.
whatever.
Yeah. So he's made 1,100 2020 runs in the last, what's that, sort of 8 or 9 months.
It's a lot.
He can't have done much. And he made runs for fun in the first couple of 50 over games for WA.
That's right.
He's in form. He's not batting poorly. He's so, Western Australian.
Yeah, what more does JL want?
What is going on?
But the squad they have named includes, obviously I mentioned Aaron Finch is the captain, Ashton Agar, the most prematurely balding man in Australia, just about, Alex Carey, Paddy Cummins, Glenn Maxwell, Ben McDermott, Kane Richardson, Steve Smith, Big Billy Stanlake, Mitch Stark, Ashton Turner, Andrew Tye, Dave Warner, and Adam Zampa. No Darcy Short. What do you make of the squad there, Heater?
Well, I guess they must only see Darcy Short as an opening bat, because I figure they picked Warner and Finch ahead of him, and they don't see him as a potential number three or anything like that, so they figured, why not include him in the squad anyway? Mm. Which still doesn't make sense. Like, I get that he may not be in the best team, and I do think that's true, but not in the squad just doesn't add up.
Doesn't compute. No.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Did Finchie bat down the order a bit lower in some one days or 2020 late last year?
They shuffled him around at some point. I forget where it was, but he batted at 3 or 4 maybe
and
in a couple of T20s.
Didn't do a terrible job from memory, so there is.
I don't know why you wouldn't open Aaron Finch.
Yeah.
Though. And so I mean, dangerous. He'll be picking the batting lineup, so he'll be opening.
He didn't fire at 3, Darcy Short, either, when we played him in the one days last year. No. He had a real poor one day series, but even still, this is his go.
Presumably, Steve Smith's been picked to bat 3.
Yeah.
Yep. I don't.
He has to bat 3.
He has to bat 3. Yeah. He can't bat lower than that.
He's the best batsman in the world.
You don't want. Yeah. Mm. You want him nudging singles through the middle. You want him going at striking at like 120, 130, just turning the strike over and making sure that he does. Let the guy at the other end do the big hitting, and every time they get on strike, they go, and Smith just anchors the whole thing.
Mm. Smith's there for your 40 off 30, 35.
Through the middle. Mm.
Do they feel an all-rounder short with just Glenn Maxwell, really, that's playing both roles? I mean, Ashton Agar as well. But...
You figure with the makeup of that squad, you've got like an Agar and a Mitch Stark batting 7 and 8, so you've got some cover-order runs if you need it, and Cummins as well. So... Now, you got 5 bowlers from 7 through 11.
Yeah. I think should be enough. I think, so the way this squad's been made, I think Carey has to bat at 6 and Agar has to bat at 7. Otherwise, the batting will look very, very skinny.
Mm,
because
I agree.
If they decide to go with, who's the other one? Ashton Turner to bat at 6 and Carey at 7, that means that Maxwell will need to make up 4 overs with the ball. And I think
not likely to. Yeah, not can't really ask him to do that.
And then there's no six bowler, so you,
yeah.
At least if you get an over or two out of Maxi, like maybe opening the bowling or something like that. You know,
he's quite good in the power play.
Get him like none for 12 off two, and then you've got, you know, 18 overs to play with and four or five bowlers.
It's a luxury then, isn't it? When you got overs up your sleeve, where can we hide this guy?
You got a bit of variety in that sort of scenario.
Yeah.
Mm. Do we have enough firepower to take down Sri Lanka and Pakistan on our own decks?
Yeah. I hope so.
I reckon the ball will be fizzing around a bit. I reckon they'll pick Stark, Stanlake and Cummins and just try and pepper them.
Stanlake is an interesting one for me. He gets poles, but he leaks.
I don't know. The same selection panel didn't pick Darcy Short and has picked Billy Stanlake. This is a guy who got dropped from the Adelaide Strikers team last summer.
Yeah. Billy Stanlake is a real Darren Lehman sort of, you bowl 140 A's, you have to be picked sort of selection. Yeah.
So to be fair, he played pretty well for Queensland in the first couple of 50 over games, but he didn't open the bowling. He kind of bowled through the middle overs, which I think might be the tactic here again. But you can't justify a guy who wasn't picked for a big bash team at the end of last summer, who's played 250 over games and he's back in the national setup.
It's almost like a Sean.
How does that work?
It's almost like a Sean Tate theory. You're either going to take three wickets.
But the fact that he's in there means they have to almost pick
him. One of those short form games, one of those 50 over games, they couldn't defend 305 against a rampaging Aaron Finch, which we'll get to later.
Yeah. You must have enjoyed that day.
Yeah, let's talk about that later. Marcus Stoinis being dropped. Is he stiff?
No.
Okay. Definitive.
No, pretty definitive. Look, Marcus Stoinis sort of made his name late last BBL opening the batting.
Yeah.
He can't bat in the middle order. He just can't.
He takes
too many balls to get going. You can't afford an 8 off 10, especially if he's going to go out that cheaply, which he does a fair bit. He needs to open the batting, and he's behind Darcy Short again, who can't get a game. So,
As the grade cricketer would say, this is a rig-based selection. You've got to have him in there just because he's got a good rig.
It could be a byproduct.
Intimidate the other blokes.
Exactly. Yeah. Just strut around, wear real and tight shirts. Like
bat at ninth drop.
Yeah. Just to
bowl eighth change.
Just to interlock pinkies with Adam Zampa.
I think Marcus Stoinis is like the byproduct of having a pretty awful World Cup.
Yeah.
We'll miss his bowling. So. His bowling was really good, but he can't be in on
he
that.
He did make a big ton off about 50 balls against.
Yeah, he slammed him.
One day.
Yeah, the first
the day.
One, yeah.
So, yeah. But anyway.
I'm surprised they didn't snake Mitch Marsh in there as well. They just love picking him in squads like
I'm a bit surprised to see him as well, especially given he can do both things. He can bowl as well as bat.
I'm quite pleased that he's kind of not in there, but I can...
They're just keeping him fresh for the test, mate. They're just keeping him fresh for the test.
It's a long summer ahead of him.
He does. A lot of 25s to make it, batting at six. Jason Behrendorf's gone in for spinal surgery, we read just before. That's a bit real tough for him. He's going to miss the entire rest of the cricket season.
Yeah.
He had a pretty good... He was okay in the World Cup, I thought.
It was starting to get going. Like, he's obviously a bowler that... You know, he might not be in Australia's best three or four, but, you know, if he's not making your international side, you're in a pretty good spot.
Mm-hmm.
So, look, he's gone in for the sort of the James Pattinson sort of surgery, which...
Full rebuild.
The full rebuild, which I suppose has worked. So, I mean, if it's
a big call at 29, it's a big, you know, it's a big gamble, isn't it?
If it costs him one summer and gets, you know, five more out of him, then, you know, job done. So,
it's a long way specialist back. That you need to bowl four overs for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and Coulter Nile just figured out they can't play red ball cricket. Behrendorf
has an excellent record at T20 level. When I used to seriously play Big Bash Fantasy, he was always one of the bowlers I'd pick because he would always concede very few runs and take poles at the what did they call the whacker?
The furnace.
Yeah. You could lock him in for wickets at the furnace. The Marsh Cup is on. And a lot's been happening. Usman Khawaja's made a couple of tons. Dan Hughes has made big runs. He's made 300 runs in about 300 four knots.
On the dot,
He's and, averaging about 60, Dan Hughes.
Yeah, he's really playing. Yeah.
He can bat.
And Uzi I saw make the second of his tons at the Junction Oval. We made two in 3 days.
He's a tease, isn't he, Uzi?
He looked completely untroubled by anything Victoria had to throw at him.
Must have been the best innings of the day.
Oh, well, it was another pretty decent knock.
Do you want to just run us through the afternoon? Like, obviously, they piled on 320 or whatever it was and put a bit, you know, they had it home and hose. The Vics were no chance of getting that, weren't they?
Yeah. Well, you're at the junction. You're at the city. You must have been frothing when Aaron Finch started.
You took leave, by the way. This is a day off.
It was a day in lieu, mate.
Okay,
I did some extra days over Grand Final week.
So what happened? You're at City Power.
I'm at Junction Oval, yeah, and we watched Usman make a very classy century, and then Matt Renshaw played some big shots. It was great. Queensland didn't put enough on the board, and Aussie Vics chased it down.
Hang on.
Scene missing.
So
Homer's not out. Scene missing.
They left some out there, Queensland. They could have done better.
So what'd you make of Finchie's 188? You would have just lapped it all up.
I saw about 56.
And you shipped off.
Well, the bloke I was with, he had to leave to get to cricket
name
training.
Name and shame.
No, I'm not going to name
him. Give him a shout out.
No, it's because he's not.
Give him a shout out.
Poiser, how are you, mate? So he had to leave for cricket training, and I said, I'll go with him because, you know, I didn't want to be that sad guy sat there by himself. Turned out I missed one of the all-time great domestic one day.
He had another 130 in him.
Yeah, so
there was only one sad guy in Melbourne that day. You on the tram, flicking through the scorecard on the way home, realizing you've missed about 132 runs and about 15 sixes.
I saw the last 60 of them at home, but because he had it for a long time.
You could have seen them live.
Yeah, I could have seen them live. But he hit three sixes. And then we had to go. It was pretty clear he's on. He'd made 56 of about 30. He'd smoked some. One of the ones that he hit. So we were behind, we were sat like in front of the City Power Centre. And then one of the ones he hit straight, like away from us, it was pretty clear that he was going to go big that day.
He flicked one off his pads for six real early in the piece. And
yeah.
That's when it's like, oh,
yeah, that's
Lord.
When we this looked at each other and went, oh boy, oh boy, wowee. And then he hit a couple more. And then as we were leaving, he belted one into the, as we were walking out, he belted one into the little bit with the, there's like a foyer area. There was a food truck and stuff, and that sort of bounced next to us, and I was like, oh, bloody hell. And then the next one, as we walked out the gate, you could hear the crowd go again, and he'd hit it, like, into the very top of the city, like, bounce off the glass. Then he hit nine more after that.
So Aaron Finch is 56 off 30. He's belted two sixes in a row, 25 food trucks back as you're leaving, and you think it's still good
to go.
It was
on 56 off 30 odd.
What is wrong with you?
And then he went to 62 and 68 with those two sixes. I just stuffed that up.
Side note, though, for anyone in Victoria who is listening or in Melbourne, getting down to the Junction Oval is one of the great things you can do on a weekend. It is a great place to watch cricket now.
I wasn't there all day. Did manage to get sunburnt. But yeah, it was a good day. It was a lot of fun. And I wish I'd seen the last 130 out of the knock. But he was just smoking him, Finchie. Yeah. He was just in that mood. I mean, there's no ground in the world big enough to contain him, let alone the Junction Oval.
You've had a mare there.
Yes, I have.
Man, you've seen a quarter of an all-time great domestic one-day innings and you've still gotten sunburnt.
Yeah, about a third. Give me a break. Moving on. Sheffield Shield starts on Thursday. I'll start with you to my left here, Ethan. What do you make of it? What are you hoping to see?
Well, Victoria is clearly going to beat South Australia.
Yeah.
Easily.
Well, that did not take long. I've made my Redbacks notes. Don't worry. They're all
I wasn't going to dance around.
He's actually literally taken notes, George, on every single Redbacks player.
Who's Luke really? Robins? What's he about?
Yeah.
It's Luke Robins.
Robins.
Look, it's hard to make notes on a couple of Redbacks players who you've never
you really
heard of.
It was Robins? How did you think that was Robins?
Mate, I've been watching the One Days. Someone must have rolled that out.
Okay.
Thank you, Tom.
you don't know anything about Luke Robins, do you?
Luke Robins.
It's Robins now. Robins, sorry.
Yeah. Bowler did play a couple of the Marsh Cup or JOT Cup last year. But the Redbacks, if you do want to go into the details, considering they are playing the Vics, who look great on paper.
Mm.
South Australia missing Ferguson, who didn't even finish the season last year. Joe Manny with a hammy. Chad Sayers with a back. Dan Worrell, who's returning in the next edition of the Marsh Cup. And Alex Ross, who got hit on the arm a couple of weeks ago, as we know. So looking at the two teams, the Vics look extremely strong.
They do.
So considering, I know I just said, let's go down to the Junction Oval and watch a bit of cricket. I'm busy.
the Vics are going to leave out Matt Shorty, averages like 45 in first class cricket at the back.
Yep.
And anchored the middle order in a title-winning year last year.
Yeah,
and all he did. Other guys were playing international cricket. So
that's right.
He'll be very stupid. And Travis Dean captained the team. He's not even in the squad.
Yeah, he's not. That's right, he's not.
He's a Sheffield Shield winning captain.
What are you, the most recent Sheffield Shield winning captain too. What are you hoping to see from the, like, not just the Vics or the Redbacks, or, you know, what are you looking to see this summer, Ethan, or in the next four games before the test start?
That's a good question, Rui. I suppose you're sort of looking for, well, I suppose runs from Usman Khawaja's.
Yeah, I'd love to see some runs from Usman.
Always a guarantee.
It's a guarantee, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to seeing Alex Carey. I'd like to see him.
That's true.
So I'd like to see him carry that World Cup form on and then make himself, make it so they have to pick him.
Correct.
At some point. Because Tim Payne is, like, his time is limited.
You'd hate to see.
And it feels like Carey is the next step.
Yeah. Everybody kind of knows and feels that Carey's the next in line. And you'd hate to see him not have a great summer or four matches, and then Australia kind of not have a backup keeping option for Tim Payne when the end finally
and
comes.
Then all
because
of a sudden we fall back to Matthew Wade Payne's keeping again.
Sorry, yeah, Wade's given away the gloves. So massive for Carey. I wrote down, like, it'd be good to see Wade and Head back in that test team after a really solid couple of games.
Yeah.
I'd like to see
Joe Burns,
like,
as well.
A few of those, fringe players, like Burns, like even Maxwell, Pekowski, these guys, Hanscom, who've been around the squad.
Hanscom's a fascinating one for me. Yeah. This feels like it's moving time for him this summer.
Yeah,
like,
absolutely.
You know, you either
his papers are about to be stamped.
Yeah, you either get test good or you don't, and that's it.
He had some weird dismissals in the Marsh Cup.
Yeah, there was that one where he was trying to do the Steve Smith walk and realised that you actually have to hit the ball if you're going to do that.
He's so unconventional.
You actually have to be Steve Smith.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. It just shows how hard it is to be that quirky, like, have that quirky technique and be good at the international level, because Hanscom persisted. Like, every expert's told him how to go about it. You're about too far back in your crease. You need to move your feet. You need to do this. You're just a sitting duck. And he hasn't changed anything yet. He just looks the exact same. He keeps getting out the
same way. Yeah, we got unpicked big time by Jimmy Anderson down here in 2017, and he just hasn't been able to. You know, we all sort of backed him to come good, and it's taken a little bit longer than I thought. But this has to be the summer.
It's probably almost. You could almost name 10 batsmen who could probably fight for at least a possible test spot at some point over the summer.
Hanscom, who's done it, has to. To go. Yeah. Like, he has to go.
Yeah. I remember a few years ago when it was whoever makes the most runs in the next two matches gets a test spot.
Yeah,
Hanscom made like
he
a double ton.
Yeah.
So that's almost the case.
I think that's where we're at.
That's almost the case with the openers.
I agree.
There's probably a spot in the middle order and an opening spot.
Yeah, well, you'd think Joe Burns will get the first crack at that unless he really cooks it.
See, I absolutely don't think that's the case at all. I reckon it's just whoever makes the most runs. If it's Bancroft, if it's Harris, if it's Renshaw.
Yeah, it could even be Renshaw.
Surely it's not Harris.
You've got eight innings here.
Well, it might be. It's different. It's the same. We said the same. Like, Khawaja got dropped before Harris. Harris got dropped and then got recalled again. But, like,
You can't definitively say, totally
different circumstances, different attack, conditions.
If Dave Warner were anyone else, his spot would be up for grabs too. But
there are eight innings.
Although, with that said, what happens if he makes, 40 runs across those eight digs, David Warner?
I think they've already said, haven't they?
Yeah, they've already basically.
But what if he really stinks?
I was calling for him in the Ashes. I said after the second test, he can't keep going like this and they can't keep picking him, yet they did. So I think they're just going to keep backing him.
Yeah, I reckon they'll block out the noise, and if he fails in one more test, then they'll have to seriously.
Because once you pick him in the first test, you've got to give him a second test.
Yeah,
though,
it's true.
That's the frustration of it. But
yeah, I'd love to see.
It's got to turn eventually, doesn't it?
Matt Renshaw is a name I'd like to see back in the international fold soon.
Another young kind of next gen
off-spinner
batsman. All rounder. And the other interesting one will be Maxwell. He's always an interesting one.
Yeah, I feel like the World Cup was for Peter Hanscom, what Hanscom is now, was the World Cup for Glenn Maxwell, and I think it's probably I can't see him in the conversation.
I also reckon particularly off last summer, particularly with the lineup of, five and six in the batting order, Nick Maddison's one to watch.
You reckon?
Yeah.
Yeah, he looked real good last summer when he could get out there.
Yeah. But then he,
except
then
for his moustache, which does not look real good.
then he broke his arm. Like, yeah,
his finger.
His
arm,
yeah, he made a 150 before that. So if he continues on with that, he seems a little bit more settled in Victoria now.
So who's
he's not facing Chiesa Rabada this summer, which is probably a plus as well.
Whose middle order spot is he taking? Travis Head's
or Matty Wade's?
Matty Wade's, yeah. You'd think Matty Wade would. I reckon Matty Wade will play quite a few tests this summer.
Bad time for Curtis Patterson to not be playing.
Yeah, a real bad time for him.
I like him as a test.
He has time on his side. So does Will Pukowski, who I think will play a lot of cricket for Australia moving forward. I also, by the way, I almost didn't go to that one day we were talking about earlier because they didn't pick Will Pukowski and I cracked it. I was lucky I was too far from home on the tram when the teams came through because I was like, I only wanted to see Pukowski bat. So at least I got to see 56 of his runs. The Aussie women are full on flying heat up. They're up to 17 straight one day wins, which is equaled their own record from a few years ago. Yeah. And we were saying the other day in the office, they just raffle off the runs, don't they?
Yeah. They pick out of a hat before each international match who's going to take the absolute piss and make a squillion runs against the second-rate opposition. It's Alyssa Healy
Rachel
today.
Haynes.
It's Rachel Haynes today. Yeah. Oh, Elise Perry, it's your turn.
They're
Meg Lanning.
The top five is Alyssa Healy, who scored 148 in the T20. Rachel Haynes, who just scored a ton. Meg Lanning and Elise Perry both averaged 50. And then Beth Mooney just scored a T20 ton about a week and a half.
If you're batting at seven, you're pretty bored, aren't you?
Yeah. Ash Gardner, batted. Who's got a T20 ton. Yeah.
It's a pretty good size.
They're just way too good.
For they are. They're too good for the sand. But it's like
Sri Lankans. Yeah. Like they've shown in the past that England and New Zealand can kind of go with the Aussie women, but...
Well, they have that one young woman at a Chimera, I believe her first name is, Adepadu, who's an absolute gun. Like
she slammed him the other day.
Actually. Yeah, she did. She made a she put on a great knock the other day. But this is the point where, and it's what the Aussie men don't do for teams like Afghanistan and like Zimbabwe and stuff, where this is actually a learning curve for these Sri Lankan women. You know, like it's good for their development. Like, yes, it appears like it, you know. It appears like a non-level playing field, but this is actually good for them to be exposed to this level of professionalism. Exactly. So, that sounds really patronizing, but that is true.
Well, that is where that team is at.
Yeah, absolutely it is. And they're just so good. Jess Jonathan brought up her 100th one-day wicket yesterday. I think she's the fourth woman to do it. And they're just streaks ahead of...
They're just ticking off milestones.
They literally are, It's one of those...
not fair.
Yeah. exactly. Looking forward to the Big Bash. We'll wrap up soon. But AB de Villiers has announced he's going to come and play the second half of the Big Bash season.
Chris Lynn batting together will be something else.
And I like they've just replaced Brendan McCullum with AB de Villiers. No sweat.
I think it's the one thing the Big Bash has sort of lacked over the last few years at least. This is a real huge name international marquee. Like we've had our Brendan McCullums and stuff. Kevin Peterson was probably the last one.
Yeah.
Now we've got AB de Villiers, like someone of that ilk and that standard.
Yeah.
Really hasn't.
That's the type of international you need to get though. Someone who's just come off the end of their international career with a bit more to give, who can give themselves a lot more time and effort into the Big Bash. Now, I know AB's only here for how long of it?
The second half. I think after Christmas.
Right. That's awesome. That's huge for Brisbane. So
I'll go watch it. Like when he comes to play in Melbourne, I'll go to whichever one.
It's a massive
game. And I'll watch it. Yeah. Because it's just seeing Brisbane, back live again.
Just for attendances at the Gabba and memberships and all that.
Yep.
Whoever got him. They'll just
give them more money in their paycheck. Like, put some more cash in.
It's gonna be kind of unfair when you poor old like Luke Robbins or something like that. You're steaming into bowl at the Gabba and you got AB de Villiers and Chris Lynn just staring back.
Still
at
waiting
him.
For that announcement to see that the Strikers are probably going to sign him up in the last minute when they can't get somebody else.
You know your 130k like. Half volley outside off just ain't going to cut it.
Ben Lachlan.
Actually,
he's got the most big
Ben Cutting's going to get stuck. I don't know. He plays the same team. Yeah. He's just always the one I think of when I think of blokes.
Who was the import for the Heat who got absolutely nailed a few years ago? Sorry, that's a question without notice.
It could be.
I can't remember his name.
I don't know
next
either.
Next time. I'll come back.
We'll
bring it back for the next episode.
That's what we call a hook. So yeah. Make sure you tune in next time to find out who the import was that got absolutely slammed for the heat that one time.
Oh, man. I cannot wait for Chris Green to bowl them both on a dust bowl at Spotless.
I think that about wraps us up, doesn't it?
One more point to make.
Oh, sorry.
Cricket Australia Instagrammed the one day kit.
Oh yes, how good.
Yeah, good shout. Yeah.
The 99 World Cup kit.
I voted for it on Twitter and all the Instas and whatever, and I, you know, probably signed up back again for MySpace to vote again on all the socials.
Yeah.
It looked wicked, and then the Kiwis came out and trumped us with theirs, because I reckon theirs looks wicked.
The teal.
As well.
The teal fern.
You were pretty mad about it though, Heater.
There's one problem with it. Where's the yellow helmet?
It's true.
Oh, yeah.
Where is it?
The yellow helmet. It's not good enough.
Oh, if you're gonna go retro, go retro.
There's still time. They might roll it out. Who knows?
Aaron Finch has got a green helmet under his arm. Yeah.
Yeah, right. Come on. Once they realise they can sell more, you know, more.
If you're listening, yeah. Missouri, yeah. Can you get the fabric and...
Imagine if Aaron Finch spanks another 190 in an ODI and Rudy misses like 99% of it. And he's done it in a yellow helmet, and there's a bunch of like 12-year-old kids who are like, I want a yellow helmet. Yeah. Aaron Finch is smacking sixes in it. Everyone wants it.
Sell out like hotcakes.
Rudy's like, what the hell's going on?
I'm sure I deserve this drive. Anyway, I'm closing that off here.
Sort it out.
I've been your host again, Rudy Etzel, on the Triple M Cricket Fan Podcast, being joined by Adrian Meldrum.
Thanks for having me.
George Porter.
Thank you.
Only Beers.
Good to be back.
We'll see you next time.